Testing. Testing. Welcome to the Doubt Sunday School. We are at Romans chapter 5, and verses 15 to 21. Romans chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Let us read Romans chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. I shall begin. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Verse 21 in unison. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grace greater than our sin is the exhortation taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Paul begins in verse 15 to give thanks for God's free grace. God's free grace, he described it in verse 15 of Romans chapter 5. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. God's free grace of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Sinful men bound for hell can find deliverance from spiritual and physical death. When Adam sinned, his posterity was plunged into perpetual misery. Our first father, when they sinned, their sin affected all of us. And their sin came upon all of us. Death became the painful reality for all men. If you look at life and the reality of life, when a man dies, it tells us about the consummation of life. There's an end, you know, to the whole thing. And when life ends, you realize that it is a point of reckoning. When the death comes and you see the life gone, you realize that there is a parting. That parting is so, in our human terms, so severe, right? When you lose the loved one, it is so much a loss. But you realize that in Jesus Christ there is a way back. There is a solution to the whole problem of sin. If there's no solution to the problem of sin, and death will come upon us, then life would be very miserable, you know. But because there is a solution, therefore God provides for us that way out. So the curse of sin and death was lifted in Jesus Christ. All who trust in Jesus finds salvation. And it's interesting because he's the one that gives life to all of us. Our life is sustained by him. Our livelihood is sustained by him. Your job is given by him. Yeah. And the time of your life is also given by him. You know, how long we are able to live. Right? It's given by him. And the determinator of life surely must have some level of standing in our life, isn't it? Right? He so much determined everything in our life. And if we would, you know, not give to him the needful acknowledgement, then we are really, we say we are really lost, right? Yeah. The physical reality of it was described when Jesus saved the 10 lepers. Right? 10 lepers were saved, but only one came to thank God, right? Praise God for all the life that he's been granted. And you realize that that is the human heart. There is that lack of true understanding of what we have received and what we are willing to acknowledge and what we are willing to give back. Right? We want to receive, but we don't want to give back. But for our Lord Jesus Christ, He showed us the example. He gave His all. And that is a great example for us to learn. And God's unique and special plan is for the second person of the Godhead to take on the human body, to be born as a man and yet fully God, to bring salvation to fallen men. Jesus is not mere man. He was the sinless Son of God. The entire weight of God's sin, of man's sin, was upon Jesus when He hung on the cross to be the substitute, to bear the punishment of our sins. Jesus paid it all. And therefore it is worthy of our thanksgiving, especially when we have been partakers of God's free grace. Only in Christ can a man face the prospect of death with the certainty that absent in the body is present with the Lord. That is a great reward of God. Because we are all going to walk that way, that journey of life. And that journey of life will come to that end. Then there is a beginning of a new life with God that He gives us. Only in Christ can a man face the prospect of death with the certainty that absent in the body is present with the Lord. Death has lost its sting. We face death with hope, the hope of eternal life. And this is God's offer to you if you have not placed your trust in Jesus. Now is the time to come to Him. And you may pray this prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ to die for my sins and to rise from the dead the third day, so that I may receive your forgiveness for my sins and live with you forever. I humbly repent of my sins and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Be merciful to save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is God's gift to us, and that gift of salvation that God gives to us is free, no charge. And verse 15 to 17 also tells us how the abundance of God's grace comes upon us. The Encyclopedia of Violence, Peace and Conflict. There's such an encyclopedia. Right, I was going through a reference section, right, in the university library, and I saw, right, the problem of violence poses such a monumental challenge that is surprising that such an intelligent species has addressed it so inadequately. Happened since the publication of the first edition of this encyclopedia, the events of 11 September 2001 and their tragic aftermath have raised our security alerts to a new level, made this project more salient and urgent. Millions have died because of structural violence. Nevertheless, violence have defeated authoritarian regimes through non-violent struggle. Millions more, perhaps billions, have been cared for with love and affection. Our hope is that this project will raise the level of inquiry and discourse, as well as the intensity of our investigation of violence and its alternatives. Perhaps it might inspire some new ways of thinking about these issues and draw more talented people into the process of constructing a less violent world. So after reading this, I said, I applaud the effort to bring about a less violent world. I submit to our readers that it is only possible in the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the gift of God's grace, that men can be transformed to love one another. Right? Without the Spirit of God, without the love of God coming to our hearts, without experience God's love in our lives, we cannot understand what is true love. The sacrificial love of God for us. If we haven't experienced it, then we can't really describe it and share it with someone else, you know. So this love comes from God supernaturally when we repent of our sins and we receive Jesus Christ into our lives. The sin nature that man inherited from Adam can only be ripped off and curtailed through the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer. Only the Spirit of God that is in us can help us to fight and have victory over sin. And only in the Spirit we have that power that God imparts to us. So when our sins are forgiven through Christ, then God will give us the capacity to forgive others and to love them with an unconditional and sacrificial love for God's glory alone. If you haven't really experienced God's love, then we would be very bitter inside us. You know, not at peace at all. But if we have truly received God's peace in our hearts, then there won't be that bickering anymore. No more that bitterness. No more that envying. No more that, but there is a peace. There is a tranquility in the heart. And every Christian is a walking epistle of peace wherever God brings us. Do you realize that? Do you notice that? That God's peace in you enable you to speak peace to someone else. You are able to subdue yourself because of the Spirit of God that is in you. And we have received abundance of God's favor, true love, true peace, and true joy. And therefore, we can be light and salt, retarding decay and corruption. You see, if we haven't received, then we cannot give, right? But if we have received and we withhold, wow, that's terrible, right? The Lord tells us that if we have received and we resist the Holy Spirit in us, oh, that's terrible. And the Lord tells us that no wonder we cannot prosper. Right? Yeah, because we have not done what we ought to. But the Lord tells us that if we would truly, having received abundance of God's favor, honor, do our part, then we would be in a role that would be able to retard true decay and corruption. But if we deceive ourselves, we just try to pass by, try make sure that we are still one foot in the world, right, and one foot with Christ, then we are going to really suffer loss, because our foot in the world, you know, is going to cause us, you know what we say, gangrene. Why? Because it's going to eat us up. And it's sad, isn't it? Because at the end, we would lose out the life that God has for us. We are not willing to give, live. And it's a sad thing that we have noticed. But for the believer, you find that the Lord wants us to, having received the abundance of His grace, to also be a person that is up and about in the things of God. Why are we, I would say, describe so listless, so lifeless? Well, because our hearts are compromised. We are not really putting our all upon the altar. And we can kid ourselves, right? But the reality will sink in, you know, more and more. Receiving of God's abundant grace is a privilege that we have. But having received, let us not take for granted. Right? Like, for example, God provides a place for our worship. God provides a place for our Bible study, for our Sunday school. But if we choose not to put priority, to draw close to God, and we choose to go our own way, right, we spurn the privileges that God gives to us, then we are going to suffer great loss, you know. Really great loss, because we will not be instructed to know the things that would be detrimental to our spiritual well-being and health. And then we stumble and we make mistakes, see. And the mistakes that we make sometimes requires us to pay a heavy price. And we lose out greatly. And so the Lord is saying to us, right, that we thank the Lord for all that we have received. And let us reign in that life that God gives us. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The obedience of one, that is Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. And the obedience of you, each one of us, will make each one of us to have a right standing before God. Imagine standing before a judge and being sentenced for a crime committed. The penalty has to be paid. Whatever the punishment, the criminal realized, the dire consequence. How to get out? In some lands, the head of state has the power to override the court's ruling. Barabbas, a notable prisoner, was freed by Pilate at the behest of the Jewish chief priests and the elders over Jesus, who did not commit any crime. Right, that was how Jesus was rejected, you know. Our Lord was rejected. How was He rejected? Matthew 27:20 says, but the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Wow. That's the Son of God. That's the one that is giving life. You mean you want to take away your own life? And that was what they were doing. Though innocent, Jesus was sentenced to death by crucifixion. Though guilty, Barabbas was pardoned. Barabbas do not deserve this pardon, but he received it. Though Jesus did not deserve this punishment, he was punished. This was the mystery of redemption. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So God's life in us enables us to live a life as our Lord Jesus did. Have you been maligned before? Have you been ill-treated? Well, you look at our Lord's life, how he bear all this, and you realize that there is a grace that God imparts to you to enable you to bear under the treatment, so that we will not respond like the world would respond. Right? The world would respond in a different way. Right? You get hit, you hit back. Right? You're provoked. You are angry. Right? Nothing can stop you. Right? You just cannot be persuaded. But that shouldn't be for us, right? We must change, and God must cause us to change. And I can tell you that God would bring you through circumstances, bring you through trials, so that you may learn to know the better way and to change. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of the womb, from the womb of the Virgin Mary, without sin, the Holy Child of God. In his lifetime, Jesus obeyed all the laws of God perfectly. In his death, Jesus was our substitute, taking the punishment for sin on our behalf. And this is how sinful men can make right with the Holy God. Jesus resurrected from the dead 3 days later to complete the deliverance of men from sin and death and hell. The righteous life and death of Jesus Christ sets men free from the bondage of sin and gives to them eternal life. All who would put their faith in what Jesus Christ has done in his life and in his death is justified before God. Like Barabbas when he was pardoned, God's wrath no longer rests upon such a one. He's translated from spiritual death to spiritual life. Life that God gives us. Right? The first man, Adam, by his disobedience, plunged his posterity into the misery of sin and spiritual death when he partook of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam represented all men in his fall. Eternal life is a free gift from God through Jesus. And Jesus Christ provided the way for all fallen men to be reconciled to God. The believer is able to understand in his heart that he will go to heaven when he dies to live eternally in the presence of God. What a glorious salvation wrought by God through Jesus Christ, appropriated by faith. Just believe. Let us appreciate this gospel and let us share it to a dying world. Indeed, grace greater than our sin, Romans 5:20-21 says, moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Families can fall apart. Husbands and wives can decide that they will no longer want to stay together.
And sometimes relationships are so ugly. But the grace of God tells us that there is a way up. The grace of God tells us that we are bound by a covenant. The grace of God tells us that we are bound by God's mercy, that He would impart goodness to us if we would follow and obey His will, follow and obey His laws, and, you know, not call it quits, but call it a commitment, right? A commitment to life. This easy church. I'm happy, I come. I'm not happy, I go. Easy marriage. I'm happy. I would come into it. I'm not happy, I would. There's no accountability. There's no responsibility. It's easy to live like that, right? But it's also devastating to live like that. It's irresponsible to live like that. No accountability. I don't want anyone to tell me anything about myself. No one can tell me that I'm not happy means I'm not happy. It shouldn't be, right? And the Lord puts us into a local church in order that we may grow. And of course, when we begin to serve, you'll find that there would be sparks, right? Because you would rub one against another. But it is through this that God would show us how we may grow in grace and the knowledge of Him. How we are able, right, to see how much of God's graces we need. Just as in a family, right, you serve one another. Husband serve the wife, wife serve the husband. There is a unity in that service one for another. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The law of God is a yardstick whereby our life is measured before God. We find ourselves falling, failing to meet the requirement. And what consolation, what great consolation and hope these verses bring to us struggling sinners. There is a way out of the bondage of sin by the superior grace of God received by the undeserving and unworthy recipient by trusting Jesus. Marvelous grace of our Lord, loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. What a relief to know that in coming to Jesus, we find forgiveness for our sins, a guilty conscience with sins unconfessed and unacknowledged is indeed an unbearable torment. But with Jesus, we find cleansing and forgiveness, joy and peace restored. Right? Jesus paid for all our sins. And this is the good news that the Apostle Paul is arriving at, to celebrate God's grace in our lives. Sin and death are superseded by righteousness
and eternal life.
There is a higher ground for us to live, you know. We don't live in that lower ground anymore. Right? We don't want to be in the mud of sin. Don't want that to live that kind of life anymore. You want to live that that higher ground of grace, of God's love. And that is what the church is, should be. And that's where we need to be growing, you see. So, do we want to have a crowd here?
Well, I would say that let us not aim for a crowd, but let us aim for a group of committed quality servants. We don't want a crowd, because you find that unless we have that spiritual strength within us, then you know not much we can do, right? If each one of us would have, you know, to disciple two or three new people, because the Lord has brought, are you able to undertake the task? Is your own spiritual life able to handle? So while the Lord give us time, let us not just sit on our laurels, you know. Because a time will come when we really would have to be useful. Right? While God give us time, let us grow. So that, you know, the time when the Lord would want us to be that influence for Him, we are ready. We are ready. What a relief to know that in coming to Jesus we find forgiveness of sins, a guilty conscience relieved, and that there is sweet fellowship with God. And this is the great privilege we have in Christ. May we moment by moment cherish this blessed fellowship in abiding in the Lord. God's grace enables us to persevere in our service for Him, persevere in our home life, in our relationships one with another. God wants us to bear fruit, and there must be fruit that will come in its season if we are willing to trust the Lord. So may the Lord help us to persevere. We are at chapter 5 now, describing to us what is salvation. What is salvation? What God has done inside you, and what God is seeking to do for you after He has done a work in you. Okay. The battle that you have before you, the battle against sin, yourself, against the world, against Satan, there is a great battle. But there is also the presence of God, His grace, to help you overcome and win the battle. And how can we do so? By knowing who we are. And this is what we are doing here. Romans, Paul is telling us who we are. If you don't know yourself, then you don't know what to do with yourself, you know. But if you know who you are, Then God will tell you, show us where He wants us to be. Then we have that ability to move from here to there. Right? He doesn't want us to stay here all the time. He wants us to grow. So may the Lord help us that we all will grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will make good for us. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your mercy, Your word, Your grace in the life of Your people. Lord, indeed Your grace is greater than our sin. If not for Your grace, we would have perished. But because of Your grace, we are existing. For Your mercy's sake, Lord, empower us to be lively stones, to be indeed together, be a worthy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in this vicinity. Help us, Lord, we are weak. May Thou strengthen us with Your grace so that we may put on Christ, the Christ in us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.